welcome everyone to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Phil has decided to come to work. That's right.
Margaret?
No, that's right. After being, I don't know what, after doing a television show or something, and then needing to get his beauty sleep for the Friday night gig there at the Hollywood Improv. Look who has showed up here, General.
Well, albeit, let it, Phil Hendry.
Dang it, my eyes must be deceiving themselves.
Very funny.
If it's you, Mr. Hendry, then let me just introduce. It's Phil Hendry, but I'm not sure.
And then, ladies and gentlemen, who we think is Phil Hendry.
Thank you very much. And, you know, if you guys ever have a problem getting to work because you got other stuff to do, don't come to me and squeal about it.
Hey, let me tell you, you know, we're not saying anything other than what's the obvious. You weren't here the last few days. And,
well, you know, actually, we didn't miss you.
You didn't miss me because we had our best of, and...
And we weren't here.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I didn't want to come to work anyway.
Neither did I. But the fact is, we do have people that come up to us on the street, and I know this may be true of you, Margaret, you, Robert, and Bud, I think we're all in agreement.
What are you talking about?
I don't know.
What are you talking about?
Well, people will come up to us and say...
Well, they come up and they say, what's with Phil? Is he taking another few days off? He's really, you know, he's pressing his luck with us, that kind of thing.
You know what? I'm never going to make those people happy. You can work yourself ragged. You're never going to make those people happy. The fact of the matter was, I was working.
God wants to believe you was working, but you won't even tell us what the name of the show is, and I think that's, you know...
Yeah, that's a good point, Bud.
Bud, you hit the nail on the head.
Exactly.
Now, Bud, look.
Now, whoa, Sunshine.
Hey, I don't like being called Sunshine.
Whoa. Now, you took the day off, and you're working on a TV show. And people want to know.
It was no big thing, man. I had, like, one little tiny scene, and that's it. And no, I won't tell you.
Why not? We've got to know.
I understand about non-disclosure, Phil. Believe me, I'm in the industry. I understand it.
All right, if you understand it, then why are you bugging me about it?
Jesus, Phil, it sounds like you're going to start to cry.
I'm not going to cry.
Well, you know, why am I bugging you about what?
If you're in the industry... And you understand about non-disclosure, why are you bugging me about it?
Why am I mugging you about it?
Yeah.
Why are you bugging me about it?
Oh, wow, you looked almost as if you wanted to rip the face off a hog or something.
Yeah, you wanted to tear a wild boar apart. What's your problem?
Hey, are you guys serious?
Sort of.
Well, I mean, look, you were working on a television program that you cannot disclose the name of. Is that correct?
I don't know, and I'm not going to try and... You know, that's what's happening these days, okay?
Phil, I heard the speech in the pre-show.
Well, I'm going to give it now on the show. That's the whole thing that's happening these days. They don't want disclosure. They don't want people saying where they're working. They don't want people tweeting stuff out. They don't want people tweeting out who's in the cast, what's the name of the show, where you're working, and stuff like that.
What? How come, Mr. Harry?
Well, three guesses and the first two don't count, man.
Well, the competing networks will get the leg up, if you will, and I find, by the way, that term leg up to be offensive, and I don't use it in my reporting. You see?
Yeah, but Miss Gray...
No. When I am reporting, I don't like to say leg up, because it sounds as if, in order to get the story, do you understand what I'm saying? I've got to hike my leg up over a fence, and there's...
Oh, yeah, that's what I understand. Yeah, well, so in other words, you're hiking the leg...
I don't think you need to be more graphic than that.
That's what you think getting a leg up is.
That's what I know getting a leg up is, and I won't do it. I won't have it, I tell you. Now...
Yeah, in other words, you're...
You know what I'm saying. I'm not going to use a crude term like leg up so that people imagine me going, yeah, you know, getting...
Sticking your leg over the... Well,
yeah, if you're wearing underwear.
Well, maybe you dirty...
Hey, what?
Maybe I'm not.
Hey,
come on, watch it, will you?
He came after me. It was a perfectly logical question.
It was. A perfectly logical question.
No, it was not a perfectly logical question.
Well, Margaret, I think we're entitled to know if you think the term leg up...
Oh, get a load of you guys trying to get the cheap, cute thrill. Woo!
Well, Miss Gray, come on.
Margaret, never mind.
All right, I'll tell you.
I was going to say, never mind.
Go ahead.
Yeah, look at this. There's a general drooling over there.
What's the point with bringing it up and then not wanting to talk about it?
I'll tell you, because yes, I do wear underwear most of the time. But if I'm getting the leg up on a story and I'm hiking my leg up over some backyard fence...
Are you saying literally you're hiking over backyard fences?
No, not all the time, but sometimes, yes. In the mind.
I understand what you mean, Miss Gray. The mentality of it.
Yes, exactly, the mentality of it. In the mind, they see me trying to chase down a story like some LAPD gang force member, you know... like the those flying crash unit guys, like they said in what was the name of that film?
No, Colors.
In Colors, yes. Now,
Margaret, thank you. I think we've got the.
No, I'm not done yet. So when I lift my leg up, oh, forget it.
Yeah, you know, it's a pretty ugly sight.
You know, all of you guys together, collectively, put you into a little time capsule and bury it too deep. Let's say right at the gates of hell. And then I'll just knock. Delivery, Satan, will be right there.
What? Nothing.
Fuck this.
Oh, boy, Margaret.
Yes, you said the F word, Mr. Henry.
I heard that. All right, today on the show...
Well, Phil, you deserve it. You asked for it, you got it, friend.
Yeah, today on the show, folks... We are going to have with us, by the way, let me just say, it was a big, big blast for me to be working on that show, which we will not name. Everybody was cool. And then on Friday night, you were there, bud.
Yeah, went out Friday night. The Hollywood Improv saw Mr. Henry, Tommy Jonigan, Kathy Ladman, saw, you know, Lori Kilmartin, saw Steve Simon, Steve Simone, I mean. And we start the, and we're...
Yeah, you're supposed to see your Charles Fleischer, right?
Yeah, we were. Charles Fleischer probably got the dates mixed up, and that's what I, you know, I'm very sorry from our standpoint. Maybe, you know, he did two gigs, or he did one other gig there at the Hollywood Improv that week, and I think that it was a matter of the dates getting sort of discombobulated. But everybody was great.
I felt and I agreed with Ellie. She was there, who's the BSP.
Yeah, what'd she say?
She said Mr. Henry was good the third time.
Oh, I heard about that, Phil. Everyone said you were good by the third time you got up there.
Yeah, so what'd you need? You need to take a run at it?
Yeah, okay, I guess that's what I had to do.
Oh, Phil, don't get your undies in a bunch, because the first two times you went up, you blew a whole herd, all right?
Yeah, but sometimes these things happen.
Yeah, these things happen. So,
look, Phil, are you a professional stand-up comedian, or are you not?
I'm just starting out.
All right, then you can't hit it out of the ballpark every time.
And no, you can't hit it out of the ballpark every time, Phil, although by this point you should be a little better than you are. And
thank you very much. So I had a great time.
Anyway, that's what Ellie said.
I had a great time, though, anyway, and I was there with Lauren and a couple of her friends. It was a blast. On the program today, folks, we're going to have Bob Green. He'll be talking with us a variety of topics. Robert Green is with the Fraser Foods. He's the CEO of Fraser Foods, a grocery chain. Be talking about the buffets. Is that right? Because they had a problem.
Well, you want me to say it?
Yeah.
Some people butted in line at a buffet.
Yeah, I butted in line at a buffet down in Connecticut. And man, they threw down.
Yeah.
They threw down.
Yeah, that's my understanding. A man and a woman. And
here's the story. Two arrested after fight over crab legs.
What do you mean a crab fight?
A fight over crab legs at a Manchester buffet, Manchester, Connecticut, right?
My understanding, yeah.
Yeah, and there's no telling yet about it.
So Bob Green's going to talk about that?
Well, look, Green has the buffet there at the Fraser Field. You know, they have the hush puppies and the different, what do they call a hush puppy? Is a puppy that they've told to shut up or so? I don't know what that is.
Potato.
All right, I don't know what the hell that is.
What do you think, it's a shoe?
Let me tell you, when I had a pair of hush puppies, I never thought of eating them.
Shit. Well, I mean...
All right, it's a potato.
All right, it's called a potato.
It's a potato. A hush puppy's a potato. So what happened?
Well, what happened? I don't know. Were they serving hush puppies?
All right.
No, it was a couple got in a fight over a crab leg. Yeah, but this guy Green, he's got the hush puppy buffet.
Okay.
Phil, what is with you?
You guys are talking about 15 different things over here, okay?
The guy that has the crab leg in Cincinnati, or not Cincinnati, what does CT stand for?
Connecticut.
Oh.
Yeah?
Those people got into a fight.
Yeah, and Green is the guy with the buffet, and he'll be talking about it right here on this here show. God.
Have you got it now, Phil?
Margaret, why don't you come in here and sit down instead of standing there in the doorway with a dish of what?
It's fruit salad, thank you very much.
That isn't... Oh, God. God.
It's fruit salad with a little bit of the linguine from last night.
What the hell?
You got fruit salad and linguine.
That's right. You guys are real pussies, aren't you? You don't know good eating, do you?
Are you kidding me? I would... Oh, yeah.
Come on.
I've got fruit salad here, there's a little bit of the linguine, and I threw some pesto in on top of it, and here's a crab leg.
With fruit salad.
Yeah, that's right, Phil, because I work with fruit salad, so I think I'll have it for breakfast. Oh!
Man.
Yeah, okay.
Really made that point.
Look, no. You want some?
No, thank you. Thank you, Margaret. I don't care for any.
God damn, this tastes good.
Well, Miss Gray, you want a napkin?
How about the tattoo?
Oh, look at Phil's getting all... Phil's getting grossed out.
Did you not have breakfast? Ah, shit, who put the garlic on that?
I did. I decided to put a little extra... What is up with you? I happen to know good eating, and I know good eats. And let me tell you, this is good eats.
So it's fruit salad?
It's fruit salad, a crab leg, linguine, and I sliced some garlic into it. And that's right, ha, like that. Ah!
Take it easy, bud.
She blew the garlic breath at me. You can't be blowing garlic breath on me.
Well, I just did.
So we got a very mature audience with us here, folks, and we'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Coming back here with David G. Hall is joining us. Because I had a little soccer story here. I don't know if we have time for that.
Yeah, I'm doing it, Johnny. World-famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California will be back in just a moment.
This is Dr. Ed Elcott reminding you every Sunday morning at 9:30, it is Elcott the Next Step. Yes, Elcott the Next Step, which teaches you diminishment of the ego so that you live on dirt floors, walk around barefoot, and carry a squirrel gun. In other words, you're like, well, a hillbilly, and yet you're not. Yet you're greater than that, because you can have sex with a woman in the middle of a field, in the middle of deer dung, and be happy about that. In fact, you don't have to eat. You don't even have to drink. You can sit and rot and feel as if you're actually contributing. Once you die, you do, because all of that fertilizes the earth. You understand, don't you? Elcott the Next Step, Sundays at 9:30, right here on
the Phil Henry Show Network.
And philhenryshow.com. Many years ago, I was in England, and I was visiting friends there, and I was also working there. I was doing some remote broadcasts. I was in the London area. I was in London, actually. But in the area were some friends living in Wimbledon at the time. And
this is your friend Fariba, right?
Yes, Fariba was down there and living with her mom and with the family and other folks that we knew. And they were Wimbledon folks. And so, you know, I got a little walking tour of Wimbledon. I tell you, it's a nice neighborhood. It's a beautiful little, you know, section of suburban London. And they also had a soccer team. They had a football team there. And their football team there in Wimbledon was the pride, I would say, of the entire, you know, section.
The entire suburb, I think is what you want to say.
Yeah, it's the pride of the entire suburb, yeah. And they even made it into the first division of English football in the 87-88 season. That's when I was there. And I also got a hold of a Wimbledon scarf that celebrated their FA Cup win.
Jesus, what's with you?
Excuse me for a minute, all right? The garlic and some of the pepper got me there. Bud, get me a glass of water.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry, Phil, but I stutter-stepped.
Yeah, stutter-stepping for the pepper?
Yes, I put some pepper along with the linguine garlic. I call it fruit guini, or fruit garlic, huh? But when I put pepper in it, see, there's too much pepper, bud.
So what are you going to say?
I don't remember, Phil, and it doesn't matter. You know, you can take the whole subject of foot...
All right, so you were in Wimbledon.
Yeah, I was in Wimbledon, and they won the FA Cup.
I know what I was going to... What is the FA Cup?
The FA Cup is the... It's a big, long explanation, but every football team, every soccer team in England competes for it, and the champion at the end gets the FA Cup, the Football Association Cup. So they won in Wimbledon. They finished seventh that year, but they won this upset victory over Liverpool in the FA Cup. And it was quite a significant thing. And that's why Wimbledon has always been a very interesting place for me. It's been an interesting place to sort of look at and when it comes to soccer. And I just saw a story here that there is a film that's about to be made about the new AFC Wimbledon team by John Green. It is a fan-supported and a fan-managed and a fan-owned team. They're now in League Two, and they're, three levels below the Premier League. So it might be a big comeback story there, and we want to take a look at that if we have the chance.
Right Phil now, Henry Show on. Traffic.
That's right.
Hey, Phil, right now, the traffic going to be a half of the high bar traffic. They've got chili with pepper, and there's peppers and chilies about safe. Go down to Chili, go to find that thing about it. Let's go over to Skyboy.
Hello, Bob. I got Bob in Santa Man, and Santa Man is Santa Claus is good for me. Santa Claus is good
Okay, you know, I said that I wanted Art Griego. I don't know why that guy was in there.
You got him up.
What? Who got who up? I wanted Griego. Is Griego there?
Yeah, Art, you there? Got Griego, but you said you wanted that up.
I had said get the traffic up, man. I didn't know who the hell it was that we were going to have on the line. Here is, okay, great. Let's get Art Griego now with the traffic. Some real traffic.
All right, so Art Griego out here over the Hollywood Freeway right now. Yeah, I don't blame you for wanting to get some real traffic in here. We're out of the Hollywood Freeway right now, Phil. We're looking southbound of the Hollywood. It looks like it's going to be a smooth sailing for the...
What's going on?
I got shot at by that baby. The baby's out there.
What the fuck?
You fucking little... All right, so that's the way you want to play it? That's the way you want to play it? That I'm doing the traffic. Get the panic! Get the panic! You... I'm Art Griego reporting.
Well, don't shake your head, Phil. I said I wanted Griego to do the traffic this morning, and there goes that Bakian.
Well, Phil, why didn't you say something?
What's that?
I said, why didn't you say something?
I was waving at Bud. I said, what is that? And you're telling me it's Bob Bakian.
Yeah, Bakian would know.
Well, what are you doing? Are you firing Bakian? Because I think you need him now, because it sounds like Sky Baby just blew, if you'll pardon the expression, Art Griego right out of the sky.
I think that's the case, Phil.
All right. That having been said, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. So that's that interesting story about Wimbledon. We'll see whether or not we... well, we're going to get into it right now.
Yeah, David Hall's on the line.
David Hall's on the line.
Yes, sir, because he wants to monitor... What's going on?
David G. Hall. What's up, David?
I just wanted to monitor what you know, this is a topic about soccer. Is that right?
Yeah, I know what you mean, David. Hold on. Yes?
All right. I'm not saying don't do it, Phil. I'm not saying that I don't want to hear it. I'm not saying any of that. I'm simply saying that what I'd like to hear is the hour to make sure that it's not, going to kill anybody. Because that's very, very important. And I think it's important for all of us to understand this, you know. It needs to be exciting. It needs to be fun, because we can't have this thing flatlining. That's why we're going to have the flatline monitor. You got that, bud?
Right there, yeah.
We're going to flatline monitor it.
No, don't give me that bull crap about flatline monitoring it.
That's exactly what we're going to do, because you know, Phil, in the past, whenever we talk about soccer or any of this stuff that you think is real interesting, I got complaint after complaint. I got them lined up around the... They're lined up around the block just to begging me, pleading with me to make sure that there's some way that, we can monitor. So I just want to hear you talk about this. We will be very respectful.
Well, where are you right now?
I'm having some lunch. Do you mind?
You know, David, you might as well be in some kind of a nut bin. It's pretty loud.
I think David's entitled to have his lunch. You can do this, Phil. You're a pro.
Exactly, Phil. You're a pro.
And the line's going to be open there.
Yes, it's going to be open. I got to be able to tell Bud.
You got to inform me on whether or not it's a flat line.
It's a flat line. So this is just designed to...
Phil, this is designed to protect the audience in case the topic you're talking about sucks really hard, okay?
Yeah, I got it.
Now, go.
Look, David...
Go.
Okay. Let me do. And now Phil Henry will talk about AFC Wimbledon and a film that is going to be made about their football team.
Boy, that's exciting. Go ahead.
Want me to flatline it?
No, not yet.
Will you guys just give me a break here?
Go ahead.
It is true that AFC Wimbledon will have a film made about it. They are a soccer team, as you know, and they're a good soccer team. They are a soccer team.
Yeah, I got a flatline.
Get out of here, will you?
What happened?
What happened was I just hung up on your boss.
Your boss, too.
No, he ain't.
Well, he tried, Phil. Can I pick this up?
I tell you what I'll do. I won't talk all that much about it. I'm simply going to say that there's a guy named John Green, author of the YA novels The Fault in Our Stars and Paper Towns,
What?
Yeah, I've never heard of him either. Anyway, he's going to produce a film about English lower league football club and...
I'm just trying...
Turn that off, will you?
Don't look at Phyllis flatlining.
Yeah. AFC Wimbledon had... AFC Wimbledon was... AFC Wimbledon... All right, fine.
Wait a minute. I think we can save it. Hold on for a minute. I just want everybody... All right? Clear! All right, once more. Clear! No, I think...
Get out of here.
I think the patient's dead.
Yeah.
We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
About that old school.
Right on.
Talking about you got me. Yeah.
All right, folks.
You know, there are an awful lot of stories in the news, Phil, if I could...
This is the one about the Bay Bridge, right?
Well, yes, it's the Bay Bridge. And it has to do with this little chihuahua.
Oh, man.
Excuse me, is he allowed to do that?
But no editorializing, all right?
There are a lot of stories about dogs, and God knows we love our dogs. And we love the love that they give us. We love the love that we love. We love and they love, you know?
Yes, yes, yes.
What does that mean?
Just get to what the love and we love and they love.
Here, you read it.
The CHP, a chihuahua was loose on a bridge.
Give me that, I'll do it. The CHP pursues a chihuahua on the Bay Bridge, then gives him a fitting name. This is a very, very cute story. This is from the Brain Bridge.
Brain Bridge, Seattle.
No, the Bay Bridge. The Bay Bridge in San Francisco. The Salad Patrol.
The what?
The California.
I'm sorry, the California Highway Patrol caught wind of a pup and it... Oh, no, caught wind of a pup on the run. Soon the cops were on his tail. Isn't this cute? About 7 a.m., Officer Vu Williams and his partner...
Vu, is that the guy's name? Or is that the puppy's name?
That's the name of the police officer.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Officer Vu Williams and his partner located the Chihuahua.
That's Chihuahua.
Oh, that's exactly right, Phil, sorry. Located the why does it say? It says the Chihuahua.
The Chihuahua.
All right. Located the Chihuahua on the westbound side of the bridge. Williams drove his patrol car and his partner followed the animal on a motorcycle, but the dog proved an elusive target. While Williams stopped traffic, the other officer zoomed ahead to try and scoop up the dog, but the animal took off running. The officers tried about four times to pick the animal up, but each time he escaped capture. Williams then whipped out his iPhone and managed to record a few seconds of the pursuit, and it went quickly viral once it was posted to the CHP's Twitter account. Well, about 5 to 10 minutes later, Williams drove up ahead of the animal, hopped out, and used his jacket to hand the dog against the bridge's wall. His partner stepped in, collared the animal. He said, "We've had dogs on the bridge, all sorts of animals, seals, turtles, you name it. We never had one that took off and took so long to get," said Williams. "The dog is in good health and was taken to the San Francisco County Animal Care." Oh, my goodness gracious.
You know what? You know what pisses me off about a story like that?
What?
If somebody abandoned that dog on that bridge, they ought to find whoever did it and throw them off of that bridge.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, you're pretty radical about that.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, I mean, they're humans.
Yeah, any human being that I don't know if that was the case, but that little puppy was on that bridge running around. Someone abandoned that dog on that bridge. Otherwise, they would have turned around and tried to get it. And instead, now the cops, and now it's turned over to San Francisco County Animal Care, whatever the hell that is. I sure hope someone has come forward and adopted that little guy. The dog's name, did they give the dog a name?
Well, I was going to get to that story. God.
Yep, let her finish.
Sorry.
Officers found a collar on the dog, but it had no identifying information. Williams said he did not know whether the dog had an implanted identification microchip, which, by the way, everyone, you should get identification microchips for. Do you have them for the cats?
Yeah, both of our cats have identification microchips.
All right, Phil, don't bore us with the details.
Yeah, okay, well, anyway.
So long as they're taken care of.
Yes, you must have those for your animals. It's the best possibility to track them down and make sure that they come home. Now... Oh, my God, I got very emotional when I thought about Thunderbird, because...
Thunderbird?
Yes, Thunderbird. That's the name of our little...
Oh, that's the little Shih Tzu, right?
It's our little Shih Tzu, Thunderbird. And we have Walcott, who is the parrot. And then our cat is... What did we name the cat? I forget.
Just got that cat, right?
We just got the cat from Animal Rescue. Frank would know. I don't know if he's on the line there.
No, he's not. I don't have him magically.
You can call. You don't need to call Frank. We got a bunch of stuff.
The cat. Here, I'll name the cat. The cat's name is Lair. Frank. Let's call it Frank.
It's a good name for the cat.
But anyway, officers found a collar on the dog, but it had no identifying information. Authorities cannot identify him, and if he's not claimed within 5 days, he'll be put up for adoption. But for now, the rescued animal has earned the name Paunch after Eric Estrada's character on the TV series Chips. And I think that's very interesting, Phil, because one of your cats is named Poncho.
That's true.
You just farted.
No, I did not. I leaned back in the seat and it's let... You know what? Poncho, Philip, kick your ass.
Sounded like a fart.
May I get out of this filthy hellhole that you call a studio?
Go ahead. So that is a very, very interesting story, and that is one that certainly has all of our attention this morning, if you're an animal lover. Now, who have we gotten for a special interview on that?
I went out and tried to find out who we know who knows about a dog that's escaped on a bridge, right? And,
yeah.
I'm talking Mr. Henry.
Okay, now, this is going to be good. You want to get an interview with a guy who's an expert on dogs that are running on bridges, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I didn't mean, and the closest I came to it was Professor Emery Clayton, and he's not on the line right now. Professor Clayton is from L.A. Canyon College.
Okay, Professor Clayton?
Yeah, Professor Emery Clayton, Phil.
Okay, sir, my understanding is Bud has you...
I thought his name was Bob. Is it Bud?
Bud Dickman!
Bud Dickman. Okay, what's this about?
He called you up because you're a professor of urban studies.
Yeah, I know what I do. What's this about?
And a dog got loose on the Bay Bridge.
A dog got loose on the Bay Bridge. You want me to talk about a chihuahua? Is this the chihuahua story?
Yeah, that's the chihuahua.
All right. Because I'm a professor of urban studies doesn't mean I know about chihuahuas that got loose.
What in the hell? What are you thinking, Dickman?
Well, you know about cities.
Yeah, I know about cities. I know all about cities. I also know about the people that live in the cities. But one thing I haven't done a study on are dogs that live in the cities. And
this is specific about a chihuahua on the bridge.
You know anything about that?
No, man, I don't know anything about that. I don't teach chihuahua on bridge. You understand? Oh, man, what I wouldn't give.
Shut up, will you, Dickman?
I'll tell you, Phil, I've got a class I got to teach here in about 15 minutes. If you don't need me for anything else...
I don't think we do.
No, if you don't know anything about it...
Hey, don't ever say I don't know anything about it. I know a lot about a lot of things, my friend, but I got a class to get to here in 15 minutes.
This is Margaret, Professor Clayton, and I understand that you have been misused here this morning. What would you think, as a professor of urban studies, the significance of a dog loose on a bridge?
I told him not to hang up.
Yep, he's gone.
Oh, now let's see if you hold him to it, huh? Let's see if you hold Clayton to it, and that he is...
I'm sorry, I didn't know I wasn't supposed to hang up. I forgot all about that.
Well, why were you hanging up?
Because you asked me one of the dumbest questions I think of. What's the significance of a chihuahua on a bridge? Ms. Gray, I don't know. I don't care. A dog, you know...
All right, we're not going to bother you anymore with it.
I would hope not. To have my valuable time wasted talking about a chihuahua running around on a bridge. I see a chihuahua on a bridge, and the first thing I'm thinking about is food for my snake.
Do you have a snake?
No, but I'd buy one.
Thanks a lot, Professor.
Yeah, Phil, you need some. Boy, you're not doing too good today, you know.
Thank you much there, Professor. Thank you very much, Bud.
Well, you wanted urban studies.
No, I mean, that's as close as we can come. A dog running loose on a bridge, man, you don't go get a professor of urban studies, okay?
Jeez, Phil, wait, you said that okay?
Yeah, well, that's what I said, man. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Well, we got this crab leg fist fight. Have you saw this thing?
Well, these are two people in the restaurant.
Yeah, there's two people, Phil, that got into a fight with people over crab legs.
This was in Connecticut?
Yeah, down in Connecticut.
And just a couple, I guess, and pepper spray was deployed. I have no idea what this is about. Police said two people were arrested over a fight over crab legs in a buffet line. And this was in, as we mentioned, this was in a place called Manchester, Connecticut. Now, what was the upshot of this? Do they know what started the fight?
They don't know what started the fight, but the disagreement erupted into a physical altercation. I am thinking that someone cut in line or took the last crab leg or something. I'm trying to think of why I would kick ass and try to punch somebody out for butting in the line and butting in and butting into my life. And the only thing I can think of is them butting into my life.
Well, stepping in line.
Yeah.
All right, Robert Green from Fraser Foods. Bob, you saw this story.
I did see the story, Phil, and I'll tell you something. For my money, and again, this is just me talking, I think that when you talk about giving people a line to a buffet where it may be all you can eat, I know they're paying for it. I'm not saying they're not paying for it. But when it becomes something that they get to go back to again and again and again and again, and you've got these individuals that abuse the system. You see, we've got a system here. It's called a buffet. I have one at Fraser Foods in our Buena Park store. A lot of the other Fraser Foods have them. It's in our deli counter, in our deli section. And people are invited to line up and get their salad and get their whatever they get there. We lay out salad and we lay out some fruit wedges. And I try to keep it economic for the store. I'm not going to, some guy walks in there that needs like 8,000 calories. Good luck, pal, because no. I don't play that. But I put out... salad, and I put out...
What's other stuff?
Well, I put out onions and...
Salad fixings.
Yeah, salad... And then we also have some of the soups.
Well, I've been over there. You've got a very good chili and minestrone.
We are very proud of our minestrone and very proud of our chili. But what happens, Phil, is this. You have... the lunch rush comes in. All these people want to come in and all you can eat it. We have an all-you-can-eat. But what we tell people essentially is it's all you can eat, but a limit of two trips.
Why do you call it all you can eat then?
See, there's that question again. It doesn't matter, Ms. Gray. It's called all you can eat.
No, if you call it all you can eat and you limit it to two trips, it is not all you can eat.
Yes, it is, because here's the thing. You shouldn't really have to eat more or want to eat more than two servings. If you do, then you have a very serious problem, I think, with something called gluttony.
So you're talking about people that are fat?
No, I'm not. I'm talking about people that are gluttons. There's a difference. There's a fat man, and then there is the man that is the glutton. A glutton is someone that wants to eat everything so no one else gets to have it. He may not be a fat man. He may just be a guy that stands there and just slaughters it in. And I have watched in horror. As glutton after glutton has approached the salad bar. And so when I saw this story, I recognized right away what we need is we need to enforce much more rigidly where people are going. So I stand over the bar as well as a couple of the other employees as people come by. Now, we had a guy the other day who came by the minestrone, and I watched him. I watched his eyes especially. You can always tell from the eyes. His eyes widened. He was licking his chops. I noticed he was perspiring. I said to Bill Fernby, who's one of our box boys, I said, what are you doing now? He said he was bagging groceries and he was sweeping up near the dumpster. I said, come out here and make sure this guy, keep an eye on this guy. He came back, he said he's back. And I said, what's he doing? He said he's going back for the minestrone. I said, all right, cut him off now.
Now, you said two trips.
I said two trips, but again, you have to keep an eye on him. And because his eyeballs were bugged out and he was sweating, and Bill reported to me that there was a twitch and kind of a hitch in his step. I felt that there was some kind of a neurological situation going on.
Well, look, Bob, I know you're not a psychiatrist or a neurologist. You're just reading this stuff without really knowing.
I'm reading this stuff with knowing. I've been working with Food General since I was 21 years of age, all right? I've been in this for decades, this business. And when someone comes over to our buffet and they've got that one shoulder is twitching up, their eyes are wide, the pupils are dilated, and they're scooping that minestrone real big, deep bowlfuls. You know what I mean? So that when they take that ladle, it really deep, way, way down, and they get all the real good pasta, and I get angry, and I'll say to them, boy, I went over to this one guy, I think that was the guy that Bill's right here. Is that it?
Yeah, it was the other one.
It was the same guy. So this guy felt...
All right, so you're standing there, too.
I'm there when I get a chance. I went over... And I saw the guy take the ladle, and it went way, way deep in the minestrone, and he came up with big chunks, the real good pastas. And I said, man, because I was nervous about what he was doing, and it was bothering me, because he looked like he was just a gluttonous slob.
You have sounds like it's a very personal thing, too, Robert.
Yeah, it does, Bob. I mean, is there gluttony in your family? Or?
Let me tell you, you're talking to him. I was a glutton. I was a glutton, and I mean, I shoved food in my house. I mean, in my mouth, but it was in my house first with the palm of my hand. I would shove donuts into my house and into my mouth and into my mouth and into my...
Did you get any sleep last night?
Not really.
With the palm of your hand, we understand.
Exactly. So I watched this guy, and I said, how you doing? He said, he didn't say anything, actually. He just looked at me and smiled and kept scooping that real deep stuff. I said, man, you're going down deep for that minestrone, aren't you? And he goes, like that. And I said, I mean, what do you think you're trying to pull here? I mean, that stuff, that's the good stuff. And he goes, I just sort of slapped at his hand. I didn't knock the ladle out of his hand. I didn't knock anything out of his hand. I was just slapping at it. And
but what is the hope when you slap at him? What do you think he's going to do?
I think he's just going to get scared and put the ladle down and run away. That's the way these guys are. These monkeys, I'm going to tell you, these guys are almost like wild animals.
I'm talking about monkey, man. That's racist.
It was a white guy, okay?
Oh, okay.
So these monkeys, it could be a black guy, too. When I say monkey, I mean all of them together. These gluttony monkeys are what I call a glunky. These are the guys.
What is a glunky?
That's a gluttony monkey.
It's a gluttony monkey, yeah.
A glunky.
A glunky.
All right, go ahead.
Man, oh, man, Henry.
Phil just got back from 2 days off.
Yeah, I heard you were doing a TV show, sitting there.
That wasn't 2 days off, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Tell us about how hard it is to work on a TV show, Phil. Anyway.
It's hard, all right?
All right, Phil, take it easy. It's hard, all right? I'm telling you, I had a glunky sitting there, and he's scooping down for the good stuff for the ministry.
Goodbye, Bob.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to raise my voice.
Well, this is like a lot of our Monday shows, you know?
What do you mean?
What do I mean? I mean, this is like a lot of our Monday shows. You know, there's a lot of hurt feelings. There's a lot of wigged out people.
You know, Phil, the idea that you're going to just plop right down in this chair after being off and luxuriating there with your friends in the...
Like I said, this is like a lot of Monday shows. It's off the freaking hook. A glunky.
Dad, do you want to get Bob Green back?
No, I don't want to get Bob Green back, okay? Here's what I will say about all of that horse dung. Number one, this fight that broke out at the buffet, I don't even need to know what it's about, okay? I don't have to know what it's about. I can guess what it's about. These two people, take a look at them.
Well, what are you trying to say, Phil?
All right, they're two big, fat people. And there's no question in my mind that when they went back for the crab legs, they either got a fight about it because there weren't any crab legs left, or some cat took the last crab legs, something like that.
Well, then, what if you're wrong? What if these two, and by the way, ladies and gentlemen, they're African-American. Phil didn't tell you that. He calls them a couple of fat pigs, but he does not mention that they are black. And I think that's significant.
That's not significant of anything. They're two fat people. They went for the crab legs. And there were no more crab legs left.
So what do you think? They busted into the kitchen and started screaming and crawling all over the... Oh, man. Yeah, Mr. Henry. Not like they're animals.
No, just because they're black. I didn't say because they're black. I said because they're fat. Big difference.
Oh, my God, Phil. You were spitting food all over me when you did. What'd you have to eat?
Nothing.
Well, what's that flying out of your mouth?
You know...
All right, I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding.
So, next time you go to All You Can Eat, folks, wherever it is, just take a chill. If there's no more crab legs, there's no more crab legs. I went to a place once, way, way back, years and years ago, when I first moved to Orlando, Florida, back in 19, whenever the hell it was, 72. And we got into town, and I was working in the construction business. I didn't have a whole lot of money when I first got to town. And I found this place, All You Can Eat Shrimp.
Oh, you told us about that on 1792.
Down at 1792 address keeps popping up.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was a big all-you-can-eat shrimp place, and I told my buddies, let's go over there for dinner, man, because it's like, in those days, the prices were ridiculous, like $3 for all-you-can-eat. So we went in, and we got all-you-can-eat shrimp. But what happened one night, I think it was probably the second or third night, they were all out, or they were halfway out, and all of a sudden I had this sort of panic. Like, where's the shrimp, man? I didn't say that, but that in my mind, I was thinking that. And the guy said, well, you know, tonight we're out. You snooze, you lose, Jack.
Yeah, man, you got them too late, huh? Why don't they go and boil up some more? What do you think, Dickman? They just grow shrimp on trees? They don't grow it on, well, they...
Well, it's in the ocean.
Yeah, it's in the ocean. They got to go out to the ocean and get more.
Man, I could have drove out and get it.
They're not going to drive out and get it, okay? They ran out of shrimp. And then I was like, it was almost like this thing on me. I was saying, wow, where's the shrimp? This sucks. So there was a little bit of panic. And when I read about stories like this, you know, where people are flipping their lid because they don't have enough of whatever, it takes me back to my...
It takes you back to your halcyon youth, Phil, when you were starving and you had nothing to eat. And now, by the looks of things...
Yeah, by the looks of things, Phil, it looks to me... Well, it looks to me like you've got plenty to eat, my friend. Plenty indeed. I'm General Galen Shaw. Suck it.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Oh, you're getting out of here early today, aren't you?
I think so. Don't worry about it, folks. We'll be back, back tomorrow. And again, many, many thanks for all of you guys hanging with us through the... interruption in our work schedule here with the Phil Henry Show podcast, but we had those other obligations. This is a professional podcast, after all, you know, and we're professionals.
But if you're such a professional, man, you don't need to take two or three other jobs. Oh!
Famous Phil Henry Show is executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on podcast one.